Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Great, thanks, Hunter. That's going to be the verse that we're going to use as the primary focus for the study this morning. So the study this morning is going to be focused a little bit on the vacation Bible school that we had yesterday for the kids, and it's going to focus on the challenges that we face when we return back to school, but I want to think that it is for everyone today, whether we're returning back to school or going back to work or just facing the challenges of the world. So it is going to heavily focus on school and just returning to schoolwork and those things that we face and those challenges to help out with our kids today. But I don't want to think that it's just lost on them today, that there'll be a lot of things that we can take away as adults. So as we think about those things that we're going to be facing, we think about what it might be like. I want to thank Hunter for reading that there in Hebrews, because as we build today's lesson, I really want to think about some things that happen in Vacation Bible School and some things that we face, because we all need to work together, and then that will be what we think about as we face throughout this lesson this morning. So yesterday, the kids were put into basically breakout rooms, and then they had to solve clues and make decisions to break out of the room, to solve the riddle, to solve the puzzles. Now, probably one student didn't do that on their own. They worked together to solve those problems. When the kids were going through it, they probably found out that there might have been a clue that confused one of them, but another student may have known exactly what it was. They had to work together to face those challenges. And we think about us today as Christians, we know that God knows what it's like to also face those challenges, as we read there from Hebrews 4:14 through 16. God never intended for us to face challenges alone, that we are to work together to help one another out. God gives us one another. We can pray for each other. We can encourage each other. We can talk about what's on each other's minds. We are there to help one another. And I think about that often when considering this lesson here about school. As you go through school, I think of all of the kids that are here today. They all attend Waynesville. They're all here to help one another out. I think about how easy it is to have another person at work like Eric, that when I'm faced with challenges, I know that there's another Christian at work, that we can help each other out. And knowing that there's other kids at school that are also Christians, it's nice to know that you have somebody to help you out with things. So as you face those challenges, knowing that you can have somebody help you out. I also wanted to read just 1 Thessalonians 5:11 as we consider this morning. Therefore, exhort one another and build each other up, even as you also do. I think that Paul wrote this to a young congregation facing those difficulties. He told them to encourage and strengthen one another. So today, as we think about the lesson, we're going to learn about what temptation comes and about what we're to do with it. We can even think about that as we study about what happened with Jesus as he found himself in these issues. Because even with a slide up, we think about us going through different life and challenges. We may think that nobody understands what we're going through. Your teachers may not understand. Your parents may not always understand how you feel. But we know that we have answers in God's word that can help us through those times. You might even think back about times of maybe the ones of us that are older, think about times when we were in school. I know Jenna has told me multiple times about a teacher she would argue with about Bible issues, and maybe even receiving a bad grade on an assignment because she referred to the Bible in the assignment. I think about those challenges that we face as we go throughout our life. But we know that sometimes it is hard to do the right thing. Sometimes that means that we don't fit in. I think when I was younger, I think I was more concerned about that. The older I get, I think the less that I care about trying to fit in. But that comes with experience. It comes with those life challenges. So as we face those things, we think about what the Bible says and what Jesus did. Thinking about what Hunter read for us this morning here in Hebrews 4, we read 14 through 16. And I think about the context of what that means. Because the Hebrew writer writes that to Christians who are becoming tired and discouraged. They're in danger of drifting away. The writer here reminds us that Jesus is our great high priest, that Jesus represents us before God. And of course, he was sent down to this earth. He was tempted and tried. He knows what it's like to have human weaknesses. If he didn't, it would be very hard to think, oh, well, God just doesn't understand. He's great, almighty, all-powerful. He doesn't understand what it's like. But we have this individual in Jesus that knew what it was like, that went through these struggles. And I think about, too, so as you can imagine, I used AI to create some of the images I have behind me. And every time that I wanted to create like an epic scenario or a scene for this lesson, it always put a cross on a mountaintop. And I find that interesting because that's actually very common what you might see. So take, for instance, when I was in Switzerland, at the very top of the Matterhorn, there's a cross. And it's commonly put there to think about how you didn't do this travel alone, that God helped you get to that summit, that others helped you get there. It's to reflect about how you didn't do this by yourself. Now, I rode a ride up there, so it's not like I climbed it. But to think about the people that did climb it, that did, you know, scale the mountain, you know, they did that with others' help. They did it with God's help. So I think about what that means to reach that summit, knowing that God helped us. And I thought that was a great image as we think about how we go through this. Now, I don't see how you could get up there and not think about God's majesty and glory and about creating everything without even the cross being there to think about how impressive everything is. But it is there to kind of help reflect. So we think about here, as we think about Jesus, we're going to be discussing here about what happened to Jesus in the wilderness. So if you would like, we're going to be looking at Matthew 4 this morning, as we think about things that Jesus went through. So we think that he was tempted just like we are. Hungry, tired, lonely, rejected, tempted, but still without sin. Now, I will challenge that first mark about hungry. I was talking to Emma the other day, and I was like, you know, I don't think we've ever truly been hungry or starving. I think about that, and I think about as we study this morning about Jesus, he probably was. He was at that point, understood what starvation is. Now, we don't really face that much in this country. I know that there are several underfed individuals in the United States. It is a national, global problem. Hunger is. But I think in context, this is something that Jesus faced, that others, when they read the Bible, they understand what it's like to truly be hungry. So again, as we think about this morning, we know that Satan directly tempted Jesus. I often think that in and of itself is a challenge. I've never in my life had the devil approach me directly to tempt me. I think about what this temptation may have been like for Jesus to be directly tempted by Satan. In Matthew 4, 1 through 3, it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." We know that this happened right after Jesus was baptized. Right after Jesus was baptized, he goes into the wilderness here. "When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights," I don't know who else has done that here. 40 days, 40 nights. We were talking about the complete number of 40 earlier this morning. I don't know if I've even went like 40 hours. I think about what it truly meant to be hungry here. For 40 days, 40 nights, he was hungry. Remember, the flood lasted as well. So just thinking about those numbers. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." So again, this happened immediately after Jesus was baptized. And Satan attacked him even by that first saying there in Matthew 4 and 1. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be bread. He's even tempting him to show him who he is. So Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. Each temptation offered a shortcut away from what God wanted him to do. And you know, we talk about turning those stones into bread after fasting for that long. As you can imagine, he was hungry. And hunger itself is not sinful. Satan was trying to tempt Jesus to satisfy that need in a wrong way. We might think about and use that application maybe as we return back to school. Take, for instance, we may really want a good grade, but cheating is not the way to get it. I have studied cheating for quite a long time. I've been a professor now for 15 years. And one of the things that I've truly noticed about students is I don't think that students start off wanting to cheat. But as time passes and time crunches start happening, students start getting nervous and they need to get an assignment done. That is normally when we see students start to cheat. Maybe they weren't prepared, maybe they didn't use their time wisely, but when students are normally unprepared, that's normally when they start cheating. I'm not sure if students start off wanting to do that, but it feels like that is the progression that we see. Also, not wanting friends, like wanting friends is not wrong, but gossiping and trying to fit in for acceptance is wrong. Or it's not wrong wanting other people to laugh with us, but embarrassing someone to get attention is wrong. So temptation often leads to a wrong path, or we might want to obtain something that we don't need. We think about what Jesus said here. Jesus did not debate Satan. He didn't get into some big debate. He didn't bargain or try to work his way out of it. He answered with God's word. It is written. God's word helps us recognize temptation before we even step into that trap. As we go on and think about the other things that Jesus was tempted with, we see in Matthew 4, 5 through 7. I'm going to read that here real quick. Then the devil took him into the holy city. Right? So we have him in Jerusalem there. He set him up on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and their hands they will bear you up, so that you don't dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not test the Lord your God." We even see Satan here quoting scripture. However, he twisted its meaning. He was trying to tempt Jesus into doing something spectacular just to prove it was him. So we may think as we return to work or to school that we are trying to prove ourselves. We may try to prove that we're brave or say, "Hey, everyone else is doing this." Or you might have a friend say, "Well, you know, you're not really a friend unless you do this." Or you're trying to show people that you're not afraid Faith doesn't mean showing off or demanding that God prove himself. Faith means trusting and obeying God. So as we continue this, the other temptation, this third temptation here, we see in Matthew 4 and 10. I'm going to read 8 through 10 if you're following along here in Matthew 4. Again, the devil took him to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory. He said to him, I will give you all these things if you will fall down and worship me. Which I've always found that as a fascinating saying by the devil. We know that the devil wanted the world, and he wanted it for himself and not for the people that God created. It wasn't even his to give. Yet he said, then Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and you shall serve him only. Satan offered Jesus power and glory without suffering and without the cross. It was a shortcut to what God wanted him to do. So sometimes we are tempted and tried. Maybe we want popularity. Maybe we want other people to notice us. But if we're going to serve God, we may have to lose that desire to fit in. Because popularity changes, friend groups change, people's opinion change, but really, our faith in God should never change. It should be that constant in life. And we think about school, you know, our kids being in school today, that it's only through grade 12. And we think that, you know what, kids are about 17 or 18 years old when they graduate. That's only just a fraction of our lifetime that we're faced with those things in school. However, that is what builds our character. Struggling with those things in school can help you when you go to get a job and when you work with other things throughout your life. Building that framework as a kid can be very important to how we face the rest of our lives. Because we know that Jesus never gave in. We're there in Matthew 4 and 11 where it discusses that the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and served him. He never gave in to what Satan wanted. And I was just talking to Jenna about this earlier today because we were talking about Brad's lesson last Sunday and about how fleeing from sin. I think it's interesting here that the devil left him. The devil kind of gave up, went away. The devil left him, and the angels came to serve him. Jesus experienced that genuine temptation directly from the devil, but he never sinned. Because Jesus faced those temptations, he understands us. This goes back to what we read here in Hebrews. Because Jesus defeated temptation, he can show us how we are also to stand. So why does this matter to us? So we think about Hebrews 4 and 15. We think about the discussion that the Hebrew writer is having here. For we don't have a high priest, right? He's mentioning this and saying, for basically we do have a high priest who can't be touched with a feeling of our infirmities, but one who has been in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. As we think about that, this morning about being faced with these issues, we know that Jesus understands what it's like to be tempted and tried. That as we face those trials in life, we know that he understands and that he cares for us, and he even invites us to ask for help. So I also want to think about that we have this power to defeat temptation. I don't know what's wrong, Nick. It's skipping about every other one. Sorry. If not, that's okay. I'd like to read over in Psalms 119, 9 through 11. When we think about God's power. So, Psalms 119, 9 through 11 says, how can a young man keep his ways pure? By living according to your word, with your whole heart, I have sought you. Don't let me wander from your commandments. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So we think about here in Psalms 119, it celebrates the goodness of God's word. We think about the verses specifically ask how young can remain pure. I think about that with this escape room. The clues helped us found things to understand, but God's word helped us recognize those temptations whenever we come in to that. So we think about defeating that temptation. In Matthew 4, and like 4 and 11, it says the devil left him, as we mentioned before. As we think about those things and about those impacts on us. I was thinking, how cool is that haircut, Jake? So let's turn over to John 14 and 15. We think about walking in obedience. In John 14 and 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, I feel like there's a lot that is said there in that verse. Because what are his commandments? What are those things that we should be seeking? Jesus spoke these words to his disciples on the night before his crucifixion. He was preparing for them a time when he was not going to be there. He wanted to make sure that they were to follow him even after he left. And of course, obedience is not how we earn Jesus' love. We obey because we already love him. We think about that as we go throughout our life, whether we turn to work or to school. We think about following his commandments. As it applies to us, we might think about telling the truth, even when lying might be easier. Doing our own work instead of cheating. Refusing to join in with gossip. Respecting our teachers. Including someone who is alone. And apologizing when you've done something wrong. God's way might always be the easiest way, but it's the way that he has set up for us. So as we think about this, let's also consider Philippians 4, 11, and 13. So here in Philippians, I'm going to read through 4, 11 through 13. Not that I speak because of lack, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. I know how to be humble, and I know how to abound. In everything, in all things, I have learned the secret both to be filled, to be hungry, both to abound, and to be in need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We think about Paul's writing here. He's writing about content. He had experienced abundance and need. He experienced suffering. Philippians 4:13 doesn't necessarily promote what we can accomplish, anything we imagine. The idea of it is the promise that Christ can strengthen us in those times that we need him. As we continue our thoughts, we think about Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. And that says, therefore, let also, seeing that we have surrounded by a great cloud of witness, lay aside every weight, the sin which is so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who is for the joy that has set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down on the right hand or throne of God. Here in Hebrews 12, it follows the examples of faithful people. We think about that runner running that race. We know that a runner, especially as we think about the Olympics and we think about what they do to prep themselves for running, I know that some runners go to extreme measures to make sure that they're the fastest. They would remove anything that gets in their way. We think about that race. Are we ready to remove anything that would get in our way? We think about those things that might be before us that gets in our way. Maybe things in our classrooms, lunchrooms, bus rides, sports teams, groups, chats, online choices that we make. Are we making decisions that slow us down for that race? Because we know that we're going to be faced with those temptations as we go to school. The ones that I was just mentioning, the cheating, the gossiping, the bullying, anger, disrespect, inappropriate online materials, pressures to fit in, or leaving someone out. As we face those, are we thinking about what we've read about this morning? In Hebrews 4 and 16, it says, "Let us therefore draw near with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace for help in time of need." Because as we prepare for school, which starts in like 2 weeks, sorry to remind everybody. But as we prepare for that, we think about things that we may need to pack in our backpack. We may need more than just the books and the pencils and our lunches and school supplies. We may need to pack some things with us. We may need to pack God's word with us. Doesn't necessarily have to be in the physical form of a Bible, but as we know that we study God's word, that we have it on our minds and our hearts. We think about our prayers, our Christian friends, and our courage that we would also need to pack with us. Ecclesiastes 4 and 9 through 10, it says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fail, the one will lift up his fellow. And woe to him who is alone. He falls and does not have another to lift him up." We think about this as we study Ecclesiastes and about lifting one another up. People work better together. They are there to lift each other up. As we face those trials and temptations, that Christians' friends do not only help with us, they can help fight for us and follow God's word. Just like the breakout rooms yesterday, working together to strengthen each other up as you face those things in school. Because as we do our daily walk and as we think about things that God has given us, in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, it says, "Always rejoice, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God and Christ towards you." We think about things as we face school. We think that maybe short prayers can help us out, like to have Jesus help us tell the truth. "Lord, give me courage. Help me be kind. Please help my friend. Forgive me and help me make this right," as we face that year. Because we'll have challenges come up. We know that we will face these challenges. We're told that we will. Some of the things that we're going to be focused on will be telling the truth and being kind. We know that we'll have to stand up for others and say no to sin. As we think about this, there might be a few daily practices that we can add to make those things easier. We may pray before going to school. Carry at least one Bible verse in our heart. And encourage one person every day. That's something that I think about at work. I saw a sign the other day that says, "Do you want to be popular at work?" And then under it, it said, "Say good things behind people's back." And I like that. I was like, wow, that's a unique thing to say. Because saying good things behind people's back also encourages that individual. And encourages the other people when they work with that individual or come to that individual. Not gossip or putting down, but saying good things behind people's back. So I think about that as we face this new year. How can we encourage others this school year? What are some things that we can do? Because we know that Jesus walks with us. We know that he knows what it's like. As we go throughout our life, we think about working together just like we did in that escape room. You learn that different people notice different things, and some things are harder for other individuals and maybe easier for others. So when we think about that, we can rely on one another as we face challenges or pressures. Because one thing that might impact me may not impact you at all. And it's better to work together through those struggles and challenges. There'll be moments when doing right is difficult. I've been mentioning that to Emma quite a bit. Things may seem easy now, but as we get older, we're going to be faced with harder challenges. But having God in our hearts and studying his word will make it easier because we know that God will be there for us. Jesus understands what it's like to be tempted. And of course, Jesus gives us his word that we can use as we go throughout our lives. And of course, Jesus invites us all to pray and to ask for help. So again, in Hebrews 4 and 16, let's therefore draw near with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace for help in that time of need. We may face different challenges, but we do not face them alone. Jesus understands us. Jesus can help us. He gives us people who can encourage us to keep walking in his way. Just like we're here this morning to learn upon God's will, we know that others are here to help us. I even think in the book of James where it talks about praying for one another and uplifting one another. We think about how important it is to have our Christian friends and families that we can uplift one another as we face those challenges. And just like how Jesus was baptized and went into the wilderness, we know that we have this way that we can become closer with God, become a Christian. This morning, I always like to extend the invitation, although we know the invitation is always open, that if you would like to become a child of his, that we know that he knows what it's like to be tempted and tried, that we know to become a child of his, to become baptized, to become follower of his, that is always open, that we can have that forgiveness of sins. And if anybody would want any prayers or have needs, we know that we're all here together to work through this life together. Whether you're going to work or to school, as we face these challenges, even just going to the grocery store, that we're all here to help one another. And if anybody would have any prayers or needs or want to become a child of his, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.